Love Talk Radio. Good job, B.
Sometimes you tell the man about the playoff game, you get a feeling about it. So, yeah, he does it.
While I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you.
And the cats in the cradle and the stew, a little boy blue and the man alone, when you're coming home, Dad, I don't know, man, but we'll get together then, you know we'll have a good time then.
My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you keep me grow? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And then he walked away, but his smile never shifted. I'm gonna be like him, yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him.
The cats in the cradle and the stew, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'm feeling like, Dad, is the bar of the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please?
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
I've long since retired, my son's moved away. Called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's your nice talking to you, Dad. It's your nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, and we're gonna have a good time there.
Welcome back, everyone. So happy to hear everyone, all the people that's tuned in on the line and on the phones. I want to thank you for being with me tonight and sharing this hour of celebration of Father's Day. Tonight, we're going to be talking about fathers, fathers that we've lost, fathers that we haven't seen, fathers that are with us, and fathers-to-be. You know, I usually like to tell a story before I start my show. I would like to talk about my father. He was a gentleman that I remember that, as you just heard the song, The Cats in the Cradle, it would always remind me of my father that he always worked. We only seen him come in late at night while we was in bed asleep. He always had two jobs, three jobs, and we only got to see him in between his breaks. Sunday was always a family day. He was home, and we would hang out with him and go visit family. And basically, he would get up every Sunday and go to church. We would have breakfast together, and we would go have to visit our cousins. Then we would come home and have a dinner, and we would relax either in the living room or if it was summer, we would go outside, and then we would start the week again, and he would be gone. But back then was different when it was a father. Your mom was mostly home. Your mom took care of you and seeing about you. But we always knew that we had to act right because one word to your father and you knew what was going to happen. So even though the father wasn't in the home as much, we still knew his laws and rules and we respected him. And we knew that he was out there doing the best for us. So even though as we grew up and he was gone most of the time, he always took out time to spend with us and show us. My father always took us fishing. We always went fishing on holidays. And even though I was the only girl, I learned how to fish. We always went down south to visit his parents, so we learned about the farming and animals and the south. And he was a family person, so we always got to meet our cousins, and we went and visited them, and we knew who we came from in our history. And fathers is always the type of person that they should show you, you know, how it is, you know, being in a family that you when you grow up. But you know, as time go on, like the song just you heard, The Cat's in the Cradle, you know, your father really didn't have time that like he wanted to with you. And then one day he grew up and then he wanted you to spend time with him. But then you were busy and you didn't have time and you was working and you was taking care of your family. So I get to understand it from the song how we have to take out time for each other because time goes so fast. And then before you know it, you're older and then you want time and then time is not there for you. Fathers. I had my father for a long time. He died when he was 83. I was in my 50s. And I was talking to someone earlier that was like, well, you had him for a long time, but when your parents leave you, it's never long enough. Because as you grow older, you just get to start knowing your father as a level of a man instead of your father. And you start getting and enjoying each other in another form. And then just as you really just get closer, you just think you know him, then he leaves. That's why you should always enjoy people while they're here. Because you never know when that day is going to come when you got to say your last goodbyes. And you're not going to have that person because death is forever. Life is for a little while, but death is forever. We got to learn to start appreciating. And that's why I wanted to do Father's Day because we do talk about mothers, but fathers are very important. And we know that now mothers do and are breadwinners in the family and do keep things going, but we have to remember the father always is the additive to the family. It's the strong part that women, even though we think we are strong and we could do many things, we still never could be a father. We don't have that type of qualities in us to be the father. That's a person that a little kid, when you're little, you look up and you see this strong man who picks you up, put him on your shoulders, and rides you on the top of his shoulders, and when you feel that you're not being protected, you can run to him in his arms, and you know that everything is going to be all right. I remember growing up that anything that happened would happen to me. My father always had my back, and he didn't allow anyone to disrespect me or do things that wasn't right for his child. And I always look back at my past, and I remember times that even when I went out with men, and the men even act like they tried to disrespect me, my father, didn't matter how old he was, he would step to him and let him know that if you did anything to my daughter, you would have to answer to me. And that's a lot of times that people really need that them words or that encouragement, or to know that that person really is going to be there for you in your time of need. It's, you miss your father. You miss that deep voice. You miss that sincere voice, that person that is going to tell you right and going to lead you in the right path and going to always say, boy or girl, I'm telling you, you better set it right, because when you get my age, it ain't going to be the way you think it is. And you know, we look back and say, oh, okay, whatever. But when you get that age, you realize what he said was the truth. And he only was trying to tell you for you to lead in the right path of going on the journey in life that he already went. And your father set the path for you. Because my father was a hard worker. Like I said, he had many jobs. But he worked hard to make sure that we had it easier, that we could go to school, careers, a profession that we wanted. If we wanted to, we had that option. We never had to worry about having somewhere to live or being warm or what we were going to eat that night. And I'm not saying we ate good every night, but we ate. And we had shelter and we had clothes. And we did have fun. You know, back then you had fun with your parents. I remember in the wintertime, he would take us up to Garrett Mountain, and we had a sleigh, and we would slide down the hills. And he had a movie camera, and he would take movies of us. And later on, when we would be home, when it was snowed in, he would play back the movie. And we would see, you know, how we would slide down. And, you know, we would always bring our dog with us to the park. We always had animals. But fathers, you know, it's nothing like memories of your father when you're a kid, because you don't get that same feeling when you're growing up. Once you're an adult, you have a different relationship with your father then. Then that's when you call and you're asking, like, Dad, my car is stuck. What could I do? How could I fix it? You know, my father is the one that taught me how to change a tire. My father is the one that taught me how to jump a car when the battery didn't work. My father taught me how to put oil in the car, how to put antifreeze in the car, how to keep your car clean. Your father is the one that teaches you things that you need to know that your mom would never tell you. Because my father always said, women take care of the inside and men take care of the outside. Now, I know things are different now, but that's how it was when I was growing up. My father always took care around the house, and my mom kept the inside of the house. And nobody crossed over unless my mother was out there to help him. I never really seen my father help in the inside, but, you know, that's how men were back then. But fathers, there's nothing like them. And I know that a lot of people grow up without their fathers, and it's all different reason why your father's not in your life. But you got to always remember, sometimes they just can't be there for you. Or sometimes maybe they don't want to, which is a sad thing, but you have to learn to accept what is handed to you. It's not always going to be the correct thing in life. You can't always have it the right way. I was very lucky. My daughter, she grew up without her father. And I always felt sad for that, because he didn't know and she didn't realize that it's a very important thing when your father's in your life. But it wasn't my fault, because you can't be at fault for what a person does important. You just have to keep moving on like most women and men do, because it is a lot of fathers that do have their children, have custody of their children, or have to co-parent with their children. But some people just don't get it until later in their life. And some people never do. I had a brother that never was in his children's life. And then when he passed away, the children had no memories because he never participated in their life. You can't get that back. People got to really think about when somebody comes to tell you that you're going to be a father, you really got to take that in consideration of what part you're going to play. I'm going to go into break and come back with my co-host. So I'm going to go into break now. Welcome back. Yes, there's nothing like having a mighty, mighty, mighty good man. Tonight, my co-host, Miles, is he on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Miles.
Good evening.
I missed you. How you been?
Hanging in there, watching everybody in the neighborhood panic because the skies were different colors.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm telling you, Miles, we live so long. I never seen the skies look like that, never.
Yeah, it was, well, being I can't see anyway, I just been wild what they said. Like, Like, oh, my niece talked about that's the new corona.
Yeah. Do you remember when colored TV was, like, coming on a little bit, and, like, you would see the show and it would be, like, a little brown in the background, like, not color yet, but a little more than black and white. It reminded me of yesterday.
It looked like it was a test run of the color TV.
Of the color TV, and I was like, wow, I haven't seen this, like, since I was a kid. But it was a little scary, you know what I mean? But I guess we coming through it. We don't know how it's going to affect us, but
last night at the Yankee game, they said they had canceled the game. They said it looked like red lightning in the sky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's some wild colors, ain't it?
Yeah, we had fires before, but I ain't never seen smoke come from far away and hit over here.
Yeah, they said it's like 12 million acres of land over there burning over there in Canada, and about another 10 million going to hit. They ain't had no rain, and like, who knows?
Yeah.
But,
They had a big fire by Exit 7 on the parkway yesterday, too. They had to shut it down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they shut down the highway down there for, like, damn near the whole day.
Well, we got to learn. Sometimes we take rain for granted, but, you know, when you get it, it's a good thing.
Yeah, we do. We always crying. It's raining all the time. That's what we need now up in Canada, a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about fathers. Because, you know, Father's Day is next week, and I wanted to dedicate this month to Father's Day. You know, fathers, celebrating fathers. Did you want to speak a little bit about you being a father, or your father, or someone that you know that you looked up to as a father?
Like you said in the beginning, like, because when we was growing up, mom stayed home, dad did the work. Our dad, only time we got to spend with him, like the weekends, because, you know, he go to work early in the morning. When he was going to work, because he was a truck driver for the Kessler's Plumbing Company. And when he go to work, he be gone, like, before the sun up. He be out and heading to work, and then we don't see him till like, late at night. The moms, you know, she do everything around the house. We, you know, she teaching us how to keep the house clean, like you said. When we do something, she said, wait till your father get home. And that's when we sit down like, uh-oh. Because we knew that's not a good sign when dad get home. And, you know, like, we did a lot of things together. Our father was he was a professional boxer, so he used to teach us how to box all the time in the backyard. And the daughters, you know, he said, go hang out with your mother. She'll teach y'all how to be women. I'm going to teach them how to be boys. And then, like, during the days, our mother always sat us around a table to teach us how to cook, especially the guys. She always said, y'all are going to be bachelors one day, so you better learn how to cook unless you're going to eat fast food for the rest of your life. But, you know, our dad, he was cool, but he wasn't like all – he was always into boxing. He was crazy about that stuff. But I used to get tired of watching them boxing shows and this and that and going down to the gym. I wanted to hang out in the parks and do all that stuff. But, you know, when he say do something, you do it. I thank God that my daughter, I got to do things with my daughter. I used to take her to the park all the time because I had a hard time with her because my vision was going bad. So I had to put, like, all different colors on her where I could see them, recognize her. I used to put the little bells on her shoes when she run, I could hear her, like bright colored clothes where I could see them. And to this day, we got a great relationship. My grandkids, I got 5 grandkids who are trying to talk me to come living in Pittsburgh, but that ain't going to happen. But I got a good relationship with them. There ain't none of them out there on drugs, cussing, you know, pregnant, none of that stuff. I thank God for that, so. But my dad was cool. He always loved the movies. As a matter of fact, when he passed away, he left us with, like, 500 jazz albums. He named me after Miles Davis and Curtis Mayfield.
Okay.
When, He had all they jazz albums. My mother sold them. This white guy came here and brought 11 albums from him for like $15,000. And we like, I said, it must be worth more than that if he's going to pay for that. And it was originals, you know. Then he had like movies. That, remember the VH1 tapes?
Yeah,
he had all kinds of Dizzy Gillespie, all them, Sammy Davis Jr. He had all kinds of live concerts they was into. He was always into all that stuff, especially when he used to travel.
What weight was he when he boxed? Heavy, light?
No, middleweight. Well, he was in a middleweight class.
Weight?
Yeah, he never got to where he was a champ or anything, but he was out. He was out there, and, you know, he taught us how to fight. And then, like, at times we get home, he would always sit there, him and my mom sit us in front of the TV, and we watch what's going on with, like, Martin Luther King, the race riots and all that stuff. They used to explain to us what we seeing, why this is happening. Be careful out there, because I remember in 68 when Martin Luther King got shot, well, murdered, they had a crazy ride in the streets, man. They taught us not to go across Helden Ave because that's where the Ku Klux Klan used to live on that side of the street. But we was always teaching us about politics, boxing, and respect.
You remember when they used to have the boxing when we was growing up, like Cassius Clay, you know, all the you couldn't really see him on TV, but you would hear about it on the radio, and then in the morning you would get the newspaper like 6 o'clock in the morning, and it would have a big, you know, write-up who won, and you go, well, I mean, I was a girl, but, you know, you go to school and you hear everybody talk about how he got hit and the whatever.
The rounds and what's happening.
Stuff like that. And,
round by round, it was going on. And, you know, everybody sit around the radio, too.
Yeah, around the radio listening to it. And but back then, remember, they used to fight white boys too.
All the time. He used to beat up on the white people. Ali did.
Yeah.
He used to beat head out. He used to just beat them like he really wanted to punish them. And you remember back in the days when you had that big old floor model TV?
Yeah.
And then it didn't work. They put the little TV on top of that one.
With the aluminum foil.
Yeah, with the.
With the
I was just thinking that we used to take the wire hangers and put it right there, aluminum foil wrapping around there.
Yeah, remember how funny it was when they were interviewed with Harold Cosell and
he was something else, wasn't he?
And Muhammad Ali would come on and be like doing his little dance, like sing like a bee, you know, whatever. And you just be cracking up. And then,
watch the move. I'm over here.
Yeah,
he was good at that.
Next day, them all with big knots, you know, Joe Frazier, be having all the knots from the fight.
Joe Frazier and Ali, the first fight down in New York, boy, they tried to kill each other then, though.
Yeah, and remember, they
had
to go they had to go 15 rounds back then.
Yeah. Lisa, that was hard. That was real boxing back then now.
Yeah.
Because them guys were like, 15 rounds?
And
try to kill
him. Whoever was in there would be putting Vaseline or whatever on the cuts, and they still had to go back in the ring and fight another round.
Exactly. Broken jaws.
Yeah.
When Ken Norton broke Ali's jaw, he still was out there fighting. Like, yo, man, you can get killed like that. That they hit you the wrong way.
Yeah.
I remember on Carroll Street and Governor, they used to have a Tony Boxing Gym. Used to be up on that corner. They used to be on Ellison Street down in the basement. Those were the good old days, though.
It was.
Summer jobs,
you know,
money on the side, yep.
I remember my father took us to the Fabian, you know. Fabian. You went to other movies. We went to Fabian to see Cotton Comes to Harlem.
Yeah, remember that movie?
Yeah, and I remember going in there and you got your popcorn and your soda and you sat down and I mean, remember it was plush seats and the way it looked inside.
Mm-hmm.
You thought you was in a mausoleum back in the day.
We used to sneak in there from the back of the back way, because remember publicist used to be in the back down there, and the phone company used to be right across the street from State Community College.
It's beyond Market Street.
We used to go climb over that fence, climb up down the back way, and go through the back way of the pavement. And boy, if you fell off that ladder, God bless you.
Yeah.
We used to sneak and come right from underneath the bottom of the movie, the stage right there. There were some good days though.
And remember, in the holidays, your parents would take you up to first it started out Eastside Park. They would have the fireworks, or we would go up to Garrett Mountain and have the fireworks. And I mean, like, it was amazing back there. Like, just, you know, bring your blanket and you would sit out there
and chill out, right?
And chill out, no disrespect.
You right.
Uh-huh.
And all the horses, You ever went for horseback riding up there?
No. I didn't know about that.
I wasn't getting on them either.
Yeah, to later that you seen the horses. But we used to, our families, my father's side, would meet up at Gary Mountain on Sundays. And that's when, you know, your parents sit and chit-chat and whatever, and you'd be running like you're a fool out there in the heat.
Yeah, that's a, you know, they kind of hooked it up right now, too, because they used to have that big old castle up there, too.
Yeah, they still got it, I think, though.
Yeah, because I know they used to do the Horner House thing up there during the holidays back then, too. And everybody used to love to go to White Castle right up the block. Please.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that White Castle used to be up there on the borderline of Main Ave and going through Passaic and Clifton and over there.
Oh, yeah, do you remember when they used to ride roller skates? The girls come to your car and roller skate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, Lee, you put your age out there, bro.
Okay. I feel like we would go there, and they would pull up, and we would
that
get
was
the
cool,
order.
Though, when they came out like that, though.
Yeah, and then when they would come out with the hamburgers, you would be like, that's ours. Then they roll up and slide up to the car and put it in your window. Well, you remember drive-thrus. We used to go to – my father used to take a drive-thrus on Route 3. I think 46 had them. I think like 17 or 3. We used to go to
17.
Yeah.
And Route 3, yep.
Well, remember the Plaza used to be a drive-in. And Willoughby
Hall,
too.
Yeah, because that was way up on Union Ave up that way, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Union Ave, Total Water stuff.
No, Garden State Plaza used to have a
The Garden State Plaza when you go all the way up Broadway.
It used to be Alexander's.
Yes.
Because I used to go there when I was driving, too.
And remember that? And then when the holidays come, everybody hit downtown Patterson and be lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, they would have like a parade.
Yeah. Always all the way up Broadway to Eastside Park.
And then remember the schools used to give us, Fabian used to give us free tickets. And we would go see the Christmas show, and all the schools would meet up in the Fabian.
That's how it was, but you don't get that now, though.
You don't get that.
No.
But talking about fathers, because somebody just told me we shouldn't be going down memory lane, you know.
Uh-oh, that's probably Jay.
But that's still the memory lane got to do with your father, because you couldn't have did none of that stuff if you didn't have parents.
If your father wasn't around, you wouldn't have been around either, would?
But my father was a Mason, and I remember when him and my mom would go to dances, they would be given You remember the Black Mason Theater, right? Where the black people used to their lodge used to be at. Remember?
Yeah, that's one thing. Your father was a Mason. He had connections too. Because when you become a Mason, that's clout.
Yeah, you remember where it was at though, right?
Now I don't remember what street it was on.
It was on Broadway.
But I remember.
It was where the Board of Health is.
Right there on the corner, across the street from that big old church?
No, right there where the Board of Health is on Broadway, right there by the railroad tracks, like on top. It was right next to the railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah.
It was four floors.
Yeah, I remember that building. I don't think that building there anymore.
No, they tore it down. It's the parking lot for the Board of Health.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, and then the white one is the one that's still on Broadway.
Yeah, and I remember across the street from there, they had that other big building, too. I forgot that because there used to be a lot of people used to run up in there. I never knew what they was going up in there for, though.
Yeah.
And they used to over there, too.
Yeah, my father was a Mason, and it saved his life a lot of times because we really never knew what it was, but when he would get pulled over when we went down south, and they would see the ring on my father's finger and the emblem on the back of his car, even though they wanted to do stuff, they had to respect that he was a brother of the Masons.
Yeah, they got a lot of they got a lot of clout, boy.
Yeah, the Elks too.
The Elks, yeah. And them clubs, them clubs back then, when you was a part of them members of them clubs, you get big respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did anybody want? I'm sorry, but did anybody, you know, the ones that want to text me? Anybody want to call in and talk about their father? Since we talk about back in the day.
Yeah, your father, your grandfather.
Anybody want to talk about their grandfather, their father, somebody that was important in their life? Oh, now he said no.
Not
don't
at
worry,
this time, not yet.
Huh?
Not at this time, not yet.
Well, how
nobody
about
pressing
you?
One yet. Me?
How about you?
Tell us about your dad.
I mean, she just told you about my dad.
No, we talked about from your
I told you my version.
Yeah, let's hear your version.
I think like my sister said, I was one of the fortunate ones that was able to have a father in the house. So a lot of people that I knew didn't really have it. But I think it's very important, you know, to have a father in the house. But my father was like more, I guess he was as family orientated as he could be without, you know, like my sister said, squeezing in the time around working and doing things like, you know, working and I guess his own time or whatever. Because he, like, you know, fishing, he had certain hobbies and things like that. But he still had a lot of time to do other things like my sister said, take us fishing or take us to the movies or take us to, you know, out to eat or take us to visit family and things like that. So it's a lot of good memories and stuff like that of how it show you how growing up is kind of like supposed to be. You know what I mean? And I guess he did the best that he could do. I really don't know where he got all the ideas from because I don't think my sister said he was like a business owner too. And then my father, he couldn't read or write. And he still was able to own a laundromat in the 70s. So he's like the George Jefferson in the neighborhood. And he was able to give
all that street
bus. He was able to give a like bus rides for the kids to – I remember he gave a bus ride to a Mets game, New York, a Major League Baseball game. I remember he took us to Walt Disney, Disney World. And so I think, like, in my mind, that's like what a father is supposed to do. He not only supposed to be the king of the house, or he's supposed to be a teacher, and he's supposed to be the man that you could follow in his footsteps, you know, of how he did things. So
yeah, you look up to him.
I think, you know, yeah. So I think, you know, like in my mind, he instilled enough in me to help me, you know, be like who I wanted to be. You know, some things, you take the good, what you want to take, and use that and the other stuff that you don't want, you know, because nobody is perfect. But he was about as close to perfect as perfect could be if somebody was perfect. To me, he was anyway. He had his little
Jay, that's how you loved your fishing?
Yeah. He started taking me fishing probably at, I want to say, about 6 or 7 years old, maybe younger than that, you know. But that's where I got it from, you know. And I can't complain because, you know, he stuck it out and he stayed there and he raised a family, you know what I mean? And was a homeowner and a business owner. And, I mean, he worked until he died. You know, I guess that's what I don't know if that's what he wanted to do, but that's what he did. So he was a man's man, you know what I mean? And like how a lot of people say, going to prison and selling drugs is people on the street is the tough guys. But nah, a tough guy is a person who could get up every day and go to work and punch a clock and take care of a family and deal with it for years and years and years without leaving them, because that's easy to do. Somebody who could stick it out, work every day, pay the bills, take care of a family, and still stay sane and hold a family down, that's like the real tough guy. So other than him paving the way and setting examples, like he was a tough guy in more
right.
ways than one. You know? So that's,
you know,
my,
can you imagine,
that's my memory.
Yeah, imagine them kids who grew up without a father, right?
And yeah,
father,
yeah, that's what I said.
My father actually, we didn't find out till later on in life, but my mom had a kid before she met my father, and my father actually adopted my brother and gave him his last name, my older brother. And that showed you that back then that, you know, even people that had stepchildren show being a man means taking responsibility for that woman's child, even though the child wasn't born to you. That, you know, that showed me a lot of respect for my father that, you know, it is men out here that do love you and your children. And he not only took care of my brother, but he led my brother he was the first and only one that grew up and went to college and graduated from college. And like my brother said, my father only had a great education, not only a fourth grade education, but he had six siblings, and every one of them died, and he had to take care of his mom in their farm by himself, being a kid. And that's why he didn't get to go to school. But when he grew up and he did become a father, no matter what he felt that he lost in life, he put aside to do the right thing for the five of us. You can't.
That's what they should call that street knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going on, you know what you have to do?
Yeah. My father used to work at Brogan Cadillac. You remember that? And my father
Allison.
Yeah, my father used to be the one that washed the cars every day in all types of weather, cold, outside. And, you know, back then, you didn't have the stuff you have now to protect you. Every day he got up and he washed Cadillacs to take care of us, you know, feed us. And I'm not saying that he was the best, but he did the best for us.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if I had probably seen him out there, because we used to live right there on East 18 and Pearl Street. Well, bro,
yeah.
We used to always go over there and watch them, check out them cars when we was kids, look at them cars. We was always dreaming like, oh man, I want to own one of them one day. That's the kind of car I want when I get older.
He used to bring them home at lunchtime, like when you drive them to, you know, to people that would be buying them. He would drive them home for break, and we would get to see the newest car that came out, you know, the newest Cadillac that came out. And sometime when a person would trade in their old Cadillac, my father would buy one. He liked it. My father was very short,
right?
But he loved big stuff. But you know, we you know, it's not all about my father tonight. Like I said, somebody want to call in, or somebody else want to speak about their father. You know, we always talk about fathers. Oh, what about the men? What about the men? I'm giving everybody opportunity. Step up, make a, you know, dial, and let us know that, you know, you want to talk about somebody. You know.
If you don't want to come on, if you don't want to come, send a text to Jay to ask a question. If you're online, send him a message, a question or something.
I think somebody pressed one, Randy. Gee.
Lisa, where your son at?
Our son lives in New York.
Ooh. Over in that fog over there?
And the father's bad over there, he said.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening,
Bob. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
All right. Nice hearing from you.
That was Miss Miller.
Oh, Mel, I hope all is well.
Yes, it is.
Amen, amen. Well, Lisa, I can talk about my grandparents. My father's father. Well, actually, I only know my father's father as my father that was his stepfather. My father don't know who his father is. For whatever reason, my father is the oldest out of his siblings. He's one out of four. And when my grandma became pregnant, for whatever reason, he didn't want to have no part in my father's life as raising. So to today, my father don't know who his father is, and that troubles him. That troubles him. But my grandfather, which was my father's, I mean my uncle's and my aunt's father, he took my father as a child. So that's who I know, which was my grandparents. And they did bring for me up in the church, me and my siblings. So we spent so much time together at family gatherings, and it was just so wonderful. It always was a family gathering besides church. It was lovely. And I do miss my grandparents. I really do, because it was just so much fun, all the things that we have done. They are in heaven. They went to heaven early, 2000. So my dad, you know, he's been a part of my life ever since, you know, in and out because of other things got you know, in front of him to where that will cause, you know, and be in and out of me and my siblings' life, but did the best that he can as raising us. So, you know, I'm grateful for that, but of all them, my nieces and nephews, so they got all of it. But as an adult, I'm still getting all of it and more. So I am grateful, Lisa. I'm grateful that my dad is still here. As of 2021, my dad did suffer a massive heart attack. And I knew that day was going to come. I knew that my father was not going to be here. And I knew that day was going to come when that day came. It was very hard to know that my dad died. But still today, God's still saying, yes, Lisa, my father suffered a massive heart attack, no brain activity when I found out that night, which that was the 29th of 2021. My dad is here, Lisa. My dad is a walking miracle. Because God said yes when the doctor said no.
Yeah, you're right.
Ever grateful. And I get a chance to see that Father's Day on my father and my birthday, Lisa, which is the next day.
I told you, I know you lost your pop-pop a little while ago.
My grandpa, he was the patriarch of the family. We had so much family gatherings. This is my mother's parents are still present. My grandmother is and my grandfather was. He just went on. And he was the patriarch of the family. We did so much family gatherings and just so much fun. I could call my grandfather and I'm like, Grandpa. And out of all my siblings, he knows my voice. And he's like, Troy, I'm like, Grandpa. So, Lisa, I miss my grandpa. My grandfather went on from Earth on to glory at the age of 82, and I am forever grateful.
Miss Miller.
I'm sorry,
have you, you and your father, y'all ever did good, you know, like, go places like sports games, parks, stuff like that? Y'all did things together?
Not sports games, no, maybe with my siblings. I was pretty much, because of my different ability, I was pretty much kept away for a lot of other things. But my siblings, yes, but not too much. I didn't really play sports and things like that now. Yeah. And my siblings got a chance. My father was a basketball player. My father is only stands 5'5". But was nasty on that basketball court. Siblings took that. Yeah, my siblings took that trade.
Yeah, I know when how you talk about your grandfather, the love you share, the way you speak about him, the compassion you have for him, the love you hear in your voice.
Mm-hmm. My grandpa, he never looked at my different ability. Last time I've been in the South, which was 19, and that was my grandmother's 80th birthday. And all of them, they don't allow her to do that. Help her. Don't let her touch that. She's going to hurt herself. Get her. Don't let her go there. I'm like, oh, this is everything I do. But I couldn't spoil the fun. So my grandmother was a happy toddler. And I let them do whatever. I let them spoil. I let them do whatever. But my grandpa, he said, he brought me to everything. He said, this is everything. Everything right here in front of you. You go right ahead. You meet me. I'm right over here. My grandpa didn't do it. He allowed me to do whatever. You for myself fixing food or whatever it is. But then I said, my aunt and my grandmother, no. I took one step, they jumping up. I'm like, wow. But I'm grateful because not many family have that. Where, you know, no matter what your different ability is, a lot of family had that love around them to help them. So I am grateful. My grandfather, he allowed me to, because he know that I can do things for myself, no matter what my different ability is. It's not my vision, Lord. He knows that I can do it. So he wasn't jumping up and saying, don't touch this. No, you're going to hurt it. My grandpa wasn't doing that. He put everything right in front of me. He said, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you, LaToya. It's always a pleasure to hear your lovely voice and your stories. And thanks for always, joining in and supporting my show on your thoughts and your memories of your family. And it's so wonderful to hear, even Miles, when you hear about family. Because I think sometimes the kids today, I know it just sound like stories that we tell them, but they don't realize that every kid deserves to have a memory of their mother and their father. And also, they should have two parents in their life. You know, it takes two people to make you, and those two should figure out a way of sharing to be in your life. Because once you grow up, that's a lot of years to miss being a child without one parent being in your life. People don't realize that it's important. Like we was all saying, make time for your children. you don't get much time. It's over before you know it, and they're adults, and you're older, and you miss that part of life. I can't voice my opinion enough about how fathers and even mothers need to step up and realize that it's really not a game just to keep, you know, having kids or you be on a certain number of kids, and then the ones that you have, you're not even giving them what they need as far as being the new world that we're getting ready to go into.
It's like
we're moving
up
forward. Yes, you know, like Miles said about us, when we were outside, we knew what to do and what not to do because we knew what was going to happen to us. But kids nowadays go outside and it's no right or wrong because there's nobody home that they got to worry about that it's going to get on them about whatever they do. That's why our kids are out here just running amok because we're trying to have fun and our kids are having fun at the same time. Somebody got to pull back and say, okay, I can't do what I used to do because I have responsibility now.
True.
But as we move forward until Father's Day, we're going to be celebrating it next week, you know, next weekend. And I just want to let all the fathers know because me and Miles are going to be talking about it next week. We won't be talking about ourselves. We're going to try to talk about other things. But, you know, moving forward, I just want to thank the fathers from the past, the fathers in the present, and the new fathers that's going to be in the future that maybe the little talk that we had tonight will bring everyone a little closer to knowing that even if you got to work or like LaToya said, you had other obligations that you had to do, make time for what's important. You only get, like people always say, you only get one mother and father. You only get one kid because each kid is separate and they have their own reason and personality for being here on this earth. God don't make no junk. Everybody here is here for a purpose and they deserve to have both in their life. So I'm going to close out, but I'm going to let Miles say his last words. And then we're going to close out for the night.
Yeah, and for you guys out there talking about you ain't had a father in your life and you a father yourself, don't be like your father was. You better than that. And don't be talking about, I had no one to teach me. Well, now that you're a father, you can learn. Spend time with your kid and learn how to be a father to your kid. And respect his mother, too. Even if y'all don't get along, respect each other. Because the kid need both of you to make it in this world nowadays. Like you said, these kids today, man, they cuss you out in a heartbeat. We would have said something like that back in our days, our teeth be missing. But that's how we got to do it. We got to just stop blaming other people. You're a father, step up to the plate. That's all I have to say.
We're gonna close out with that if we don't have anybody else or somebody else don't want to make a comment. And I hope that you enjoyed me and Miles tonight. Thank you, Miles, for the memories.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for letting me talk about my father because when your parents are gone, talking about them and remembering brings back heartfelt feelings of someone that was very close, loving, and important in your life that's no longer here, but we still could talk about them and remember them. So I want to end tonight out with, please, everyone be safe and look out for yourself, and not just for yourself, look out for other people. Do one nice thing for someone. You know what I mean? Tell somebody something nice as you walk this journey. We only walk this road once. And you never know, someone that you might help today maybe down the road might help you. So let's take this out with this song, God Bless, and I hope that I see everyone next Thursday. And don't forget my brother's show tomorrow, Keeping It Real, from 8 to 10. Saturday, Shadi, let's talk about it. Monday, Dre show. I'm sorry, I always forget the names. But Dre show comes on Monday night. He also have a Sunday show. Let's support each other. We only have us as a people. If we don't start getting together and putting our love in our own people, what kind of people are we going to be in the future? Everybody else show love to their people or their respect. We have to start doing the same thing with us, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the people that came before us. So I want to close out and thank everyone.
And one other thing for everybody listening, please, please be careful out there with that weather like it is out there, because that stuff ain't no joke. Whatever you're breathing, because that fire that's going on in Canada is heading our way, please be careful. Don't take it for granted, because that stuff is very dangerous. Turn up. I'm
Minister.